This week, I want to go over another popular story as we ask the question, what are you believing for? And these simple stories display great truths that I think when we are honest, we can sometimes overlook because we're so used to hearing them. And I want to read out of the book of Hebrews this morning about a man named Noah. But before we go there, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are already in this place. And again, we ask that you would open up our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to just receive your word and do whatever you desire. You are in charge. And we thank you again that we get to be a part of your church and what you are doing here as we lift up Jesus and as he brings us closer to our Father God. We thank you for all of this, and we just rejoice in Jesus this morning. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, as almost always, I release you to give some hallelujahs and amens wherever the Spirit leads you to do so. We're not a dead or dying church. Amen? Amen. Amen. So there is life in this place. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 and 7. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, verses 6 and 7, says this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Amen. Now, in a moment, we're going to get into more of the story of Noah, but I want to look real quick at verse 6 in the passage we just read. It's talking about faith. The whole chapter here is talking about the people of faith, but watch this. It doesn't say that it is difficult to please God without faith. It says it is impossible to please God without faith. And first it says that we must believe in God, that he exists, but it does not stop there. That is not enough. The theologian Barclay puts it like this: we must believe not only that God exists, but watch this, that God cares. God cares about you. He cares about what is happening in your life. And that's not a soft, watered-down message. That is part of the message of the Bible. That's why Jesus came. But there must be a conviction in us and a knowing about who God is. Watch this. The way that you live your life tells you all that you need to know about your belief in who God is. The way that you live your life. When this verse says, he who comes near to God, it's talking about one who comes near in worship. That's the underlying tone of it. Why is it talking about that? Because the way you live your life shows what, who, and how you worship. Not in a worship service. We're talking about every moment of your life. Displays who you believe God is. It shows us who you really believe God is. And that's why we say that there must be a conviction in us to who we know that the Lord is. And we must then live our lives in that same conviction. When I used to talk to young worship leaders or to young pastors, and this applies to everyone, some of the greatest advice that I could give them is to mean every word. to mean every word, to be convicted when you are singing a worship song, when you are preaching the word of God, when you are talking to anyone, to mean what you say and do. Because our actions should follow our words. The greatest compliment that I think I ever received when I used to lead worship was that it looks and sounds, it feels like you actually mean what you say. Do that with conviction. And sometimes I remember I would sing a song in the sincerity of my heart, in truth. And sometimes I would sing that same song as a prayer saying, God, let that be true in my heart. A good example of this is one of the songs we recently released on our album, but it says this, I will live as if there is no tomorrow. Every moment of my day as if my last. The freedom that I know is that I am in your hands. Come your will, come what may, guide my path. Now, there are moments in my life where I mean that, where I feel like, yes, that is my life. And then there are moments where I am pleading with God, help me to make that my life. You ever been there? So we can sing with sincerity. We can speak with sincerity in either one of those ways. But faith is seen in the way we worship, because it's supposed to be an outpouring of the way we live and believe. God calls and guides us, and our obedience to that is also our worship. Because our faith in who he is, watch this, obligates our obedience to what he desires. Our faith in who he is obligates our obedience to what he desires. If we know that God is the healer, then we're going to start praying for healing in people. If we know that he is the deliverer, then we're going to start praying deliverance over people, and so on and so on. Who do you know God is? So we have to know and pursue knowing God. And church, know that he cares. He cares. So we have to start by believing in God and getting to know him. And from there, we can move in to the rest of this passage. This passage mentions essentially three different things in the story of Noah. It says, by faith, Noah. It mentions a man. It says, being warned of what was to come, that is the flood. And it says, he prepared an ark, which is the promise of salvation. A man, a flood, and a promise. And those are the three things we'll be looking at in greater detail this morning as we ask ourselves, what are we believing for? The first thought of there is the man, Noah. And get this, Noah was the first person to respond in faith to the word of God. He was the first one to respond in faith to the word of God. And his response sets an example for us all. And God didn't just say something, he told him to do something. And Noah was a man of faith. Faith is acting in the face of what is not seen. Faith is acting in the face of what is not seen. And the key word there is action. The end result of true belief is action. I'm going to say that again. The end result of true belief is action. Noah had probably never seen rain before, and he built a boat. I don't know about you, but that sounds crazy. And he built a boat so large that even by today's standards, this large vessel of wood, they say probably the largest wooden vessel ever built in history, would be impossible to move to whatever water Noah had ever seen. And God often calls us to impossible things because that shows others who God is. But it also shows us who we believe God is. It's easy to think when things are hard that we are not following God. And sometimes that is true because we make stupid decisions, amen? But as I read the word, I come to believe more often than not that if my faith is not being stretched, I might not be following God. Because God desires for me to grow. He desires that for me. In our world today, where we can have and get things so quickly, we need to note that Noah worked on this for years and years. Some scholars think that it was 50 years. Some think it was up to 120 years. One scholar said that he thought it lasted 5 years. And I note that there's a replica, a couple of them, that I think it took 6 years with modern machinery. So I think it took a while to do this with hand tools and people. And we don't read that Noah had a ton of help. And sometimes life feels like that, that you don't have any help, that God has called you to build an ark and you have a hammer and a saw. Do you feel like that sometimes? But hallelujah, if God calls you to something, he will see it through to completion. Noah was probably looked at as crazy old Noah, building a boat away from water, saying that somehow water was going to fall from the sky. Christians are not called to walk in popularity. They're called to walk in truth. And that's what people respond to, good and bad. They respond to truth. God called Noah to believe what he had said would come true, even though it had never happened before and looked impossible. What has God called you to today that you need to believe for? Noah was believing for those close to him, for his family, for his own life, and that the word of God would come true in a way that no one had ever seen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like God does that to me a lot. Crazy old Mitch. Just doing his thing. What God has called you to today is for a reason. He has a reason in everything he does. Many Christians today struggle to believe what they cannot see. That's why in America, many struggle to believe that the Word of God is for today. Even in America, Christian churches struggle to believe that God moves today, that his Holy Spirit moves today. But church, if I read it in the Bible, it is timeless. God does not change, ever. And like Noah, we have the word of the Lord. And that is enough to believe, to pray, and to see it through. Whatever God says, it is possible. God's word never fails. So if he has placed a promise before you, especially a promise in his word, believe for it. Whatever it is, believe for it. Doesn't matter if it looks or feels impossible. God will see it through to completion. When God says that he wants to pour his spirit out on a people, do you believe it? Do you live and take action like it is true? Are you willing to build a boat essentially in the middle of nowhere just because God said so? Are you willing to do whatever God asks? It's easy to think that we would say yes, but I want you to take one moment and think, if God asked me to build a giant boat, would I do that? Would you do that? With all the ridicule, the finances, everything, would you build a boat? Would you build a boat? When it says that God heals, do you pray like healing is going to happen? When it says that he provides, do you trust and pray like you or someone else will be provided for? And when you don't see a way out or through, do you trust him and who he says that he is enough to be and live at rest and peace inside of your problem? What are you believing for today? It says in Hebrews 11:7 that Noah was moved with godly fear. Noah reverenced God because he believed God would do what he has said, and that he is who he says he is. Genesis 6:9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah lays an example of someone who God is close to. Do you want to be close to God this morning? It says he was a just man, and that word means lawful. Before the laws of God were written for us to read in the Bible, they were written on men's hearts who were open to the Lord speaking. It was written on Noah's heart like it is written on ours. And in this same way, God writes his word on our heart. Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Hebrews 8:10, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. 2 Corinthians 3:3, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. The character of God will come through you when you are close to him, when you allow what is written in all of us to come out. God is making you and I like Jesus. We are born and made in the image of God. And it says Noah was perfect. And this does not mean that he was sinless. This means that he had integrity. He was truthful. He was without blemish, and that he was sincere. Noah had conviction that he lived by. You know, one of my high school classmates recently got saved, hallelujah. And I watched a video of them singing worship songs in their car to God. And I began to compare it with the person I used to know. And it was like they were a different person. The same face, the same personality, but the sincerity of their heart was written on everything that they were doing. So all the drugs, all the sin, the running to anything but God was no longer there. And they were living out the faith that they had in Jesus. As we believe for things, God takes out the things that are not of him, that go against what he desires. But church, we have to let him. And I love this thought because it encapsulates Noah to me and everything that he stood for and everything that we should want to be. It says, Noah walked with God. And this is not a super spiritual walking on a higher plane of existence thing. That word walked means walk. It just means to walk. And I've been pondering this for a little while. How do I walk with God? And I know, I'll be honest, I don't always do this well. It's so easy, watch this, to separate God into the places I want him to be and the places I don't want him to be. When I want to be spiritual like church, or when I don't want to be spiritual like in traffic, or at work, or when I'm just busy doing something that I feel like I need to do. But what I think God loved most about Noah is not that he was perfect, because he wasn't perfect, but that he was willing to walk alongside God at every moment, good and bad, hard and easy, waking and sleeping, to just walk with God, like you're walking down the street and God is right there. To be driving down the street and God is right there. To be sitting in your office at work and God is right there. That's what it means to walk with God. And that pleases God. And that's where I want to be. Do you want to be there? Do you want to walk with God? You know, when I got married, I opened up everything in my life for my wife to know. And while she was secretly hoping that I was secretly rich, she later found out everything that I was not. But I shouldn't try to hide anything from her. And that's what we so often do with God. We try to hide these areas from him as if he couldn't see them. The areas that we don't want him to see, or more importantly, the areas that we don't want to change. But in Genesis 6:22, it says this: "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did." Church, do we have enough faith to do all that God wants us to do? Do we have enough faith for him to take the parts of us that we don't want him to see? We don't want him to heal, to fix, and to change. Do we have enough faith to let him write more of the words on our hearts? And when we write his word, when he writes his word, he writes himself, because he is the word. So when we walk with God, he fills our hearts with himself. With himself. I don't know about you, but that is a special thing to me. That God wants to write himself onto my heart. Because he wants to be with me at all times. It's the type of person that sees faith, not just into action, but accomplished. Faith, watch this, remember this. Faith reveres God more than it fears failure. Faith reveres God more than it fears failure. The more you know God, the greater your faith is going to be. What are you believing for this morning? Do you know God enough to see it through? Do you know him enough to know that it is possible? It is done on God's end. It is a small thing to God, but where is it for you? I was praying about some things this week, and God said, and you've probably heard it before, "That mountain in front of you, Mitch, that's a molehill to me. It is nothing. It's nothing for God." God loves Noah then enough to warn him. It says that in Hebrews 11:7, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Faith isn't just to see amazing miracles, the blind seeing, the raising of the dead, the gifts of the Holy Spirit taking place. It's not even just for salvation. Watch this. It's for everything in this life that you encounter. Faith is for all times And in everything you do, you can have faith, you can walk with God to see all of it come to pass. God wants to be involved in your life. And that's why we have to walk with him. And it's also knowing what God has warned us will happen one day. Not that we operate in any bit of fear, but we are warned so that we can warn others. To be prepared ourselves. And that's part of what God has called us to do. In fact, it is our main mission here on earth. Tell other people about Jesus. I just want you to picture for a moment. You can picture me, so you don't have to picture yourself. If I'm standing on a boat, so thankful that I am saved while I'm watching people swim around. That is a life that is not on mission. We can't be saved in the boat and watch people drowning. Church, God wants to move in this valley. But we have to be on mission. We have to desire the things of God, which is to see people saved, healed, delivered, restored. God wants to walk with you so he can walk with others. Which brings us to our second point, the flood. The flood represents several things. The difficulties we face in life, the end of times that we too are living in, and even a symbol of baptism according to the Apostle Peter. The story of the flood in Genesis 6 through 9 is a narrative that starts out with the perspective of God. Before switching to a perspective that we feel ourselves in the moment, that we struggle to see God into situations. But that God looks down and sees all that is going on. In the beginning of creation, so the first few chapters of Genesis, God looks down and he sees all of creation and he says what? He says, it is good. Time after time, he creates something and says, it is good. But now, in this moment where Noah is, sin had entered the world. And in Genesis 6, 5 and 6, it says this, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Church, the Lord grieves over people. Which means, if you didn't know this, God feels. He has emotion. He has disappointment and reaction to people's willful rebellion. Because why? God really cares. God really cares. Because of humanity's sin, God's attitude and outlook of mercy and patience changed to judgment. But his character and his purposes have never changed. Whenever he finds favorable responses to his will and direction, he favors and responds to those people with mercy and grace, with hope and with life. He maintains personal and intimate relationships with us. Can you say hallelujah to that? And he wants the constance of walking with us. Church, he loves deeply, knows completely, and is aware of circumstances. He knows deeply, loves completely, and is aware of circumstances. The Lord sees you. I want to stop on that moment, that thought. The Lord sees you right now. And that shouldn't be a scary thing if you know Jesus, but that the Lord sees what you are going through. And like Noah, he has made and wants you to step in the way of his desire to get you through. He is with you where you are at. And he is with you in every moment. The Lord sees you. He sees the intent of your heart, all of it. And he wants to wash you clean of the things that need to be cleaned. This is why Peter views it as a symbol of baptism. For the believer, it is not death, but cleanness. It is resurrection and to be put back into the original plan that God had intended for us. 1 Peter 3:18 through 21 says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, but by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism is a symbol of what God has done in your life and the life that you have given back to him. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. We see that in Scripture with the thief on the cross and in other places. But if you haven't been baptized, it is an outward confession of your inward faith. And God expects you to outwardly confess your trust, faith, and salvation to others. That Jesus has saved you and you've given your life to him. Your confession is an outspoken warning to the world that they too can be saved. You need to confess outwardly if you are truly saved. You should want to be baptized because the Bible says that you should be. We have a baptism service coming up. Call the front office if you've not been baptized. Talk to a pastor if you've not been baptized. Make sure everyone knows that you have been saved so that they too can hear the gospel. They too can hear about Jesus. It's one of the most exciting things we can do as Christians, to be baptized and share the gospel. To see others be baptized and share the gospel. We should be excited about what Jesus is doing. We should be excited. There are many scriptures on this, but perhaps the most famous, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Do we know that Jesus is with us to the end of the age? And that we are living, and I mentioned this earlier, according to Paul, we are living in the end times because he thought he was living in the end times. So from the time of Paul to the time Jesus comes back is the end times. But this generation that we are in is much like Noah's. Genesis 6:11, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." But watch this. Noah stood out in his generation with the truth and message of salvation. He wasn't influenced by the immorality around him, but he preached righteousness and hope. And when I read that, I thought, oh God, let that be my life. That I am not influenced by immorality, but that I stay to what is true. That I can preach not just because I'm a pastor, but I can preach because I'm a Christian about righteousness and hope, and I can live a life that backs that up. God, let that be my heart. Let that be my life. And that is what we are called to be. And to some, we will look like that crazy person building a boat without water. But to others, we will look like hope and salvation and life and grace and mercy and all the goodness of God that they are searching for. You have been put in this place to make sure everyone around you knows the boat is taking on people. Jump in. We don't know when exactly the Lord is coming back, but it says it will be soon. Let's take as many with us as we can. Let's spread the message that there is hope for the future, but there is also hope in the moment. We don't just serve a future God. We serve a God who is in every moment of your life. One of the greatest ways to spread the gospel is to live it. Church, live like there is hope. In whatever situation you find yourself in, there is hope. And sometimes it feels like there is a flood or the rain is coming and we don't know what to do, but we are hoping for a miracle. And church, God wants you to know He's in the business of miracles. Let people see how you react. Let it be with faith. Remember who God is. He desires to show love, to show mercy, patience, and grace. He shows this by Jesus taking our judgment onto Himself. And that's why the ark is seen as a type of Jesus, symbolically. Whatever you are believing for, know that Jesus saves, answers, delivers, heals, and restores. And He wants to restore our relationship with God so that we can walk with Him. He's not a genie in a bottle, but to those who put on Jesus' righteousness as their own, they are seen as righteous by God. Jesus saves completely. Not just the parts we want Him to see. Which brings us to our third and final point, the promise. Now, the main purpose of this story is not to tell us why God sent the flood. It's to rather tell us why God saved Noah. Noah was saved because he walked with God. Now, as we mentioned before, the opening perspective is that of God, that He sees all that's going on and He has to do something. He then makes this covenant and this promise to Noah. Genesis 6:18, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Genesis 6:18. And that's important because when we are believing for something, we're given a job to do, but it is God that completes it. It is God that completes it. Noah is given all that he needs to know on how to prepare, what to do it, how to be saved. Then Noah goes and does it. He goes and does it. Salvation is a lifelong process of you becoming more like Jesus every day and telling people about Jesus. You are saved, but you are also being saved. As we mentioned a while ago, chapter 6, I will establish my covenant, and you should go into the ark, your sons and your wives and all of that. Chapter 7 then starts with what we should think as repeating of everything that was just said. Of all the animals and that God was going to do all these things, He repeats that. But what actually is happening, I want you to realize this, is there is a gap in between when He was first told and when He repeated the covenant. And that's important because things happen in the gap. The years of believing, the time of hardship, the actual building and fulfillment all happened between those passages. And it's not really stated All the ridicule, the everything that happened. Church, not everyone is going to see and congratulate you on the good job you're doing. Watch this. Literally, and I can say this factually, no one in the entire world was happy for Noah. The entire world. But watch this. The Lord himself looks down on you and is pleased when you have faith. And that is enough. That you please God. You need to be close enough for him to tell you that. For you to know his character, because there will be times in your life when you don't hear from God. That could have been 50 to 120 years where it doesn't say that God spoke to Noah again. I sometimes cry that, you know, God, I have not heard you from you today. Or I feel like I can't hear you this week. You know, 120 years is a long time. Noah stayed true. And he stayed faithful to that. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, come into the ark. That's after Noah did everything else. Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen, I saw in the gap that you are righteous before me in this generation. Faith in action results in righteousness. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We believe for the promises of God, and God himself establishes them. God brought all the animals to Noah, but Noah prepared for them. God shut the door of the ark because they estimated it probably would have weighed about 25,000 pounds. I know we probably have some strong men in this room, but you're not strong enough. Can you move 25,000 pounds? But I love this thought. God gave them the blueprints to build all of this. God knew Noah could not shut the door. It was God that shut them in. And get this, not just to keep the waters out, but to keep them in where they would be safe. And that is a picture of our life sometimes. Don't fight where God has you, because that's the safest place to be. Prepare for the promise. Church, what are we preparing for? I want to prepare as a church for mass salvations. What does that look like? I'm going to be brutally honest. That is your job. Yeah. Woohoo. Lisa got it. Oh, it's Courtney. It is your job to spread Jesus. And our church will grow when we do that. The perspective then had now changed from God's perspective to building and being in the ark. And God gave such details to build it. Not so we could remake some of them and see how cool the ark was, probably. But he gave meticulous details because God cares about you meticulously. The boat had to be perfect, in a sense. It had to hold up for 40 days and nights in a storm, and then another 110 days at sea. With enough space, they estimate for 7,000 kinds of animals. Not 7,000 animals, but 7,000 kinds of animals. Holding enough food for Noah and the animals for 150 days. If you're wondering, could the ark actually fit all of that? Yes. People much smarter than me have studied it. Say yes, it could fit all those kinds of animals and all the food. God knows what he's doing. And in the middle of all of it, it doesn't say that God spoke in the storm. Do you ever feel that way? Sometimes it's hard to hear from the Lord. Or it feels like he's not speaking. Sometimes it feels like you're just like Noah and you're sending out a bird. Is there hope? Is there a leaf that's going to come back to me? God, send me something. Sometimes it's hard to hear. But that is when you buckle down and see through the thing that God last told you to do until it is complete. Because your faith is still strong in the Lord, even when you're in a test. Have faith. And he's given us enough wisdom through his word to follow him for the rest of our lives. But thank God he still speaks today. And we have the Holy Spirit as a guide for our lives. Amen? 2 Peter 3:10 tells us, the day of the Lord is coming again, that the earth will be destroyed again, this time with fire. But in Revelation 14, 15 through 20 and Matthew 13, 30, it talks about a great end time harvest of people being saved. Matthew 9, 38, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Like Noah, we are called to believe and build. But we're not just building a boat. We're building the kingdom of God that is ready to receive a harvest of souls being saved. Last week, we talked about building our foundation on the rock who is Jesus Christ. This week, we see that we build those foundations so that we can see the kingdom of God built from our lives. To see a harvest saved. To see every promise that God has given us to its completion. Do not give up on what God has promised. As the worship and prayer teams come, I'm going to ask us all to stand if we're able to this morning. Church, whatever you are believing for this morning, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar and establish your standing in faith. Whatever it takes, you know that God is faithful and you're going to re-put your trust into him. Believe for a great harvest of salvations in our valley as well. Commit to seeing that through. Pray that God will use you. Look for opportunities to grow the kingdom of God and believe for it. That is our job. We want to see this valley saved. But believe for healing. Believe for provision, restoration, direction, for the prodigal to come home, for the calling of God to be responded to, and then pray like you believe. And God counts that to you as righteousness. And watch this, James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Your faith equates to righteousness, and God answers the prayer of righteous believers. Your prayers in Jesus, like the ark that saved and delivered Noah, like the promise that was sure to salvation, is heard. And God has not and will not fail. Stand, believe, have faith, and build. What are you believing for this morning? Come and entrust that to God. Come now if you need prayer for absolutely anything, especially if you need to meet with Jesus. Whatever you have, God can respond to. And he wants you to know that he cares about you. And he makes a way. Can we begin to worship?